Hello, everyone, and welcome to another interview session at the Innovation and Creativity Summit. We've got a transatlantic, trans-Pacific, trans-oceanic interview for you today with Janet Cernak from Australia with Imagination. Janet, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm just back from my evening yoga class, so I'm well stretched and very relaxed.
Perfect. Some listeners may notice there's a bit of a time difference with this session, and that's just because the speed of light in between London and Australia will take a second or two in between the questions. So we'll make it work. So Janet, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background in innovation and what Imagination is? What do they do?
Oh, great. And thank you for asking. Well, Imagination is located in Australia. It was actually born in Israel, the startup nation, when my husband and I went to live there, nearly 8 years ago. And I found I couldn't work in my field, which was organizational learning and development in the whole area of transformational leadership. So what does a girl do? She was a startup entrepreneur. So I think I was one of the entrepreneurs to ever come to Israel. But what really compelled me was and what really inspired me was the innovation culture and the whole entrepreneurship lifestyle. So I've been a serial entrepreneur. I worked for myself for 30 years. So I guess it was a logical, very creative and enormously challenging step. And we relocated back to Australia nearly 2 years ago. And despite what everybody said, you can't do it. Well, I did it and we're doing it. And we're global thought leaders now in the discovery end of innovation. And I'm the chair. There you go.
So what do you mean by the discovery end of innovation?
Well, all of our research indicates that there are really three phases of innovation. There's the front end, which is the discovery, which is about being able to see, respond to, and generate new ideas. Then there's the design phase, which is actually probably closer to inventing something represents your creativity and your new idea. And then there's the delivery, what we call the commercialization phase of innovation. And what we saw is that the universities and the academics have got the delivery side down pat, and the design thinkers have got the side down pat, but there aren't many people playing with what we call the discovery or the generative skill set. So that's where we play, and we say play because play is part of what we do.
And why is it that this is so important that companies need to think about this discovery phase in a new way? What are the sort of problems that companies usually are facing there?
Well, as Albert Einstein always said, you can't solve the problem with the same thinking that created it. So part of the problem with innovation is that organizations in the BCG indicate that 79% of organizations want to innovate, but they actually don't know how to break through. And Clayton Christensen says that the discovery skill set is the most important skill set for an innovator to have. Most organizations just focus on execution. So what they're doing is executing an idea with the same started it. So the discovery phase is really about how to be different. So when we talk about being different, we talk about being courageous, compassionate, connected, confident, things like that. And then we talk about thinking differently. So being able to be a really good divergent and convergent and associative thinker. And they're all important skills. And then there are the about how to be different, how to think differently, and to act differently in order to make the difference that you want to make in the world in the way that people value and cherish. So we teach people to be provocative, disruptive, deviant, so that they can create openings. They can see and create openings for new ideas that they can, creative ideas that they can transform into innovative solutions. So the gist.
Why would a company want people who are disruptive and destructive? Surely that wouldn't that ruin things like team dynamics?
It's actually maximizing diversity and difference is the nice way of saying it. So what you're trying to do is to create out-of-the-box thinking and to challenge the status quo. And after spending most of my career in top team alignment and transformational leadership, is being nice is not going to deliver you the outcomes you want. So we teach people how to be safely disruptive. And one of the core, there's six practices in our leadership model. And the first one is to be plug from everything that's going on around you and be present. And the next phase is to actually create what we call a safe collective holding space. So we create the safety, what's called psychological safety by Edgar Schein, or as trainers and coaches and facilitators, we call safe space, because it's only when you provocate and you disrupt the status quo that you can create puncture marks in it. And we call those cracks for something new to emerge. And the principle is, or the presupposition, you have to sort of hold to allow something new to come. So we do that in a very safe and empathic and compassionate way.
You also mentioned something earlier about things like confidence and culture. How does a company actually improve the confidence of its people to try out new ideas?
Well, that's a great question, because three barriers to innovation are risk diversity, which is very strong here in Australia. So you have to make it safe for people to take risks and not punish them if they make a mistake and fail. The second thing is fear of change. So you have to make it safe for people to embrace change, so offer them a more positive end state. And also the last thing is complacency. So complacency is, I think it came out in the latest BCG report, not invented here syndrome. So you have to motivate people to move out of their comfort zones. So a lot of it is around safety and creating the space where people can experiment and learning, doing and failing. So we talk about building people's confidence. So when they see that they're not going to get bashed up, that's a good Australian term, beaten up for doing things differently or wrong, so they're actually going to be more confident. The other thing is we want to build their capacity, so that's their emotional agility to be resilient and bounce back from adversity and failure, something I've had to experience myself. And then there's the care mindsets and skills, and it's all about developing a culture that is agile, so that people know how to adapt to and respond to changes quickly and creatively.
Could you possibly take us through, if someone were to bring in a imagination facilitator, what sort of things do they face at the beginning, and what sort of hurdles do they find in teams, and what sort of techniques are there to actually overcome those hurdles?
That's a great one. It's usually when we go in with a client intervention, all of our work is customized and all of our programs, as we're one of the things I noticed when I moved into the innovation space was how conventional innovation consultants were. So that was a lot of fun to play with. So the first thing that we do is we work with the CEO and the executive team to actually be explicit about why innovation is important to that business. So you need to be successful in an invention, you sense of urgency around this beyond a burning platform possibility. So we call that a push strategy from necessity and a pull strategy for possibility. So it's not just about survival, it's about flourishing. So each organization is different. So it's really important to know why you want to innovate. And then we'll actually facilitate a draft definition of innovation that suits the client's needs and suits their business and suits founders or the executive team. And it's only like what we call a straw person hypothesis to play with. Really importantly, we team on board to lead, sponsor and role model the program. And that's all really challenging because you come up against cognitive inertia, which is, you know, we're doing okay, we don't need to change. You come up against fear of loss of status. You know, I'm a CEO, I know what I'm doing. But it's really, there's all sorts of things. You come up against the founders, especially, if, you know, saying, well, you don't know anything, all of this, so, you know, we don't need you, even though the people in the organization might be very disengaged and do need us. So, and then, of course, there's learning anxiety, which is fear of looking stupid for not knowing. So innovation involves change on steroids. So we actually tend to partner with our clients and co-create the kind of structure that's going to work best for them. And most, because we work strategically and systemically, we ensure that there is a vision for innovation, that it's really as a strategic.
As you mentioned right at the beginning, you guys are thought leaders when it comes to this first part of the innovation methodology. And it seems like you really have a philosophy that everything's built upon. What's the background behind the processes that you use and the philosophy of the way you approach innovation? Jan, I think the audio's cut out.
Oh, okay. sorry about that.
No problem.
Everything we've learned about innovation at Imagination is a result of learning by doing. So by really exploring what works and what doesn't work, I've been known for a very long time as the how-to girl. The core is be the change that you wish to see in the world. And I always wanted to fast track consciousness. So I'm really revealing a secret side of myself and realize that the best way to do that is through innovation, because you need to have, it's the final C, you need to have some consciousness to be innovative. So it's very much about teaching people to be present, teaching people how to really connect with each other and with whoever they're working with the system and the whole. So the philosophy is very emergent, and it's very much pulling people towards realizing their full potential possibility. So you are conscious it's possible in the world, possible for me. It's only a matter of how. So I miss possibility. That certainly is the underlying everything that we do, and imagination is to really unleash that possibility as opposed to saying innovate or die, because we don't believe that.
I mean, this has been fascinating hearing about what sort of things happen within teams, what sort of things hold people back, and what sort of things they can do to improve their innovation performance. But the last thing I want to talk about before we run out of time today is, if you were to give individuals or teams or managers one actionable thing they can go out and try this week, this afternoon, this year, what sort of things should they go out and actually take the first step on?
It's a really great question. And again, the answer is very simple and hard to do. And that is to be really present with whoever you are with and really listen for the possibility that's in the conversation. Don't listen to judge. Don't listen to offer a conflicting point of view. To be empathic, it's in the face of possibility of what could be whilst also accepting what is, and then just simply ask more questions about it and be willing to be provocative as long as you've created the safe space to be. Perfect. So
Janet, thank you so much for being here. We're going to have a link on screen for everyone who's joining us on the webinar to find out more. Janet, where is that link going to take people?
It's going to take people to websites. Join, we run free monthly webinars, download our white paper, join our community to be on our monthly community bulletin, and we'd love to welcome you to the website. And I look very different when I'm not just back from a yoga class.
No problem. It's been lovely having you. Apologies for any audio issues anyone may have had, but Janet, thank you so much for being here, and I look forward to speaking with you again soon.
And I wish you all great success in your business practices, and may the future be so bright for all of us that we need to wear sunglasses.
Perfect. Congratulations on being part of the Innovation and Creativity Summit. I'm sure that if you continue to watch the other expert interviews, you will experience an improvement in your capability to turn your ideas into something valuable. But don't forget, to get the very best experience and ensure you don't miss any of the priceless lessons, you should invest in yourself with the All Access Pass. Not only will this give you exclusive lifetime access to watch all the lessons whenever is best for you, you will also get all the interviews as downloadable audio files so you can learn on the go, full transcripts so you can read and analyze the great advice and tips, and exclusive bonuses not available to anyone else. Click the link below to get your All Access Pass now.